hoping that you understand. You ain't the man to tell you in demand. Just pray to God we keep you in the plan. You ain't the man to tell you in it.
Hey there, welcome to Time Out with Ty, episode 62. If you really pay attention to the show, you'll have noticed that episode 42, we had Ben Mahitch. Episode 52, we had Ben Mahitch. This is episode 62. Guess what? We've got Ben Mahitch back again. How's it going, Ben?
I'm back, and I'm better, Ty. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. Are you not sick anymore?
I'm not, and I'm not addicted to cough drops anymore either.
You kicked the habit?
I did.
You didn't. I heard that you were. You went to a Broadway show. At least you weren't on cough drops for that.
I did. I went to a Broadway show with my girl Amanda.
Shouts out Amanda.
Shout out to Amanda. What is it called? Fiddler on the Roof.
Oh yeah.
Had no idea what it is. It was an impromptu decision. Bad decision on my part. Had a little bit of red wine beforehand. I thought it would make it better, you know? I fell asleep for 98% of it, man. I have no idea what Fiddler on the Roof is. She kept nudging my chin like, wake up, bang, you're missing Fiddler on the Roof. And I was like, nah, I think I'll sleep, and I slept through it all, man.
Are you a snorer?
I'm not.
Okay, so that doesn't, who cares then? It doesn't matter. You were quiet. That's all that matters.
Exactly. I was knocked out.
Did Amanda have a good time? Did she enjoy Fiddler on the Roof?
I think so.
I wasn't there for it. I don't know.
Yeah.
See, you went to, was this last night?
It was Wednesday night.
Okay, so two nights ago. Yeah, because it's Friday. Yeah, it's Friday.
I'm going to be honest with you right now. I don't remember a single thing from Thursday.
Yeah. I mean, Thursday for me, Thursday was yesterday while we're recording this and when it airs. I went to Snoop Dogg last night.
How was that?
Snoop Dogg is insane. See, I went with my sister because it was her Christmas present to me and also to her because she's very smart. And she had a Kinect, so we were in the pit. So we were like 10, 15 feet from Snoop Dogg. We were in like the third or fourth row of people down there. And it was crazy. And she kept buying me shots of Patron. So yeah. I was drunk when I saw Snoop Dogg. And I was like Snapchat. I only took like two Snapchats during Snoop because I'm not going to have my phone out. It's fucking Snoop Dogg. But it was crazy because like Warren G was there. And he did like a bunch of songs I didn't know. And then Regulators. Bone Thugs were there. And Bone Thugs fucking brought it. And who else was there? Oh, the Dog Pound was there with Corrupt, and they were dope too. But obviously Snoop. I mean, after a while, you're like, really, Warren G? How many more songs do I really want to hear from you? Like, I'm waiting for Snoop Dogg, Warren. Just do Regulators. Just get it over with. At one point,
and what did Snoop do? Did he do like new Snoop?
No, he
like
did not.
Gangnam Style guy,
no,
or was
Snoop,
it like
Snoop knows what's regular. Up? I was worried. I was like, let's say we get like 30 to 40 minutes from Snoop. If 10 minutes of that is Snoop lying, I'm gonna be pissed. And there was no Snoop lying. It was all like 90s and like early 2000s Snoop, like a lot of stuff with Dre. He did an Eazy-E song and a Pac song and a Biggie song just because, and that was amazing. Yeah.
Did he have like a regular mic or like Snoop Dogg mic?
It was a regular mic. He came out in Bucks gear. He came out in a Bucks jacket and he took it off and he was wearing a number 20 jersey. And this was going on Twitter too. I found out after the show when I was not so subtly bragging about being there. And everyone was like, oh my God, Snoop's got a Rashad Vaughn jersey on because he wears number 20. It was a Snoop Dogg jersey. It said Snoop on the back. If he was wearing a Rashad Vaughn jersey, Ben, I would have been flabbergasted.
Yeah, I would have been too.
I mean, I feel like if anyone hangs, Rashad Vaughn, I don't know. I wouldn't be that surprised. Rashad Vaughn seems like a cool guy.
Where did you even get that, Snoop? Because they don't sell Rashad Vaughn jerseys.
No, I mean, you saw what I found on the Bucks Pro Shop the other day. They sell everything there. Ernie Grunfeld, game one jersey. There's other ones. Jared Honeycutt.
I'm still waiting for that jersey.
You think I ordered you that? That's $1,000.
I think you ordered for me.
No. They have you can buy a autographed basketball with this wooden finish on it. Autographed for $2,000 from the legendary 2015-16 Bucks team that missed the playoffs and was like 12th in conference. Who's paying $2,000 for that? Half those guys aren't even the NBA. Yeah, I need this Grievous Vasquez.
Johnny O'Brien was on that team, man.
Johnny O'Brien was on that team. You can get his game-worn Los Bucks and Black History Month shirts for $100.
I don't want them.
I kind of do. All right, so enough. We just, this is the problem with our podcast. We just talk about anything.
Yeah.
I enjoy it. I don't care. Fuck it.
Yeah.
But let's talk about real stuff. Let's talk about Boogie. Boogie is not in a good place. I think that's how I phrased it when I was writing about Boogie the other day. He is, I think my favorite thing about Boogie, I think, besides the fact that he's like the best low post center since Shaq about, and he's really good and he does great stuff for the community, is every insane Boogie story you think, all right, this is peak Boogie, we're not going to get any crazier. And then literally like a week later, it gets way crazier. So first we had Boogie was like pointing at a guy named Andy Furillo who writes for the Sacramento Bee, who writes all kinds of negative things about Boogie, and they sort of got into it and whatever. And everyone's like, oh, Boogie's anti-media. And then like 3-4 days later, he spits his mouth guard at the Trailblazers bench, gets ejected, gets unejected, comes back, and you're just like, what is even happening around Sacramento and Boogie anymore? I know you have been a Boogie proponent in the past. Are you still rocking with Boogie?
I'm still rocking with Boogie, but not as hard, admittedly, as I was just a few months ago. Because I'm not mad at him yelling at Andy Furillo or whatever his name is.
Something like that.
Because dudes write negative things all the time. But, like, Andy Furillo is an 85-year-old, fragile, white man. Like, an old little white dude.
Yeah.
And Boogie's just towering over this dude, about to strangle him. And Garrett Temple.
Garrett Temple, like, man of the year. Him, Garrett Temple, he's like, please, him, no.
Boogie, please don't kill this please dude, don't. At least right now.
I'm not trying to win four more games the rest of the year without you, Boogie. Come on.
Exactly. And that kind of threw me off.
Yeah, that wasn't good. Did you see his
Boogie's
hello,
like
friends?
Donald Trump, but it's not going well. Like, he's doing all this weird shit, and it's not ending well. Like, it's not going towards his favor at all.
If this means that a building is constructed named Boogie Tower, and we just get random celebrities going there all the time, I'm so down for this. I need Boogie Tower to exist.
Yeah, I do too.
Well, here, this is the conversation, really, that we want to have. Because, I mean, we could sit around and just talk about how fucking insane Boogie antics are all day. The interesting part is, like, where would Boogie Tower be located? Because, like, is this guy going to finally get traded after literally years of talk about this? It still hasn't happened. I haven't heard that the Kings are looking to move him. I know primary owner Vivek Ranadive is a huge Boogie fan. But, I mean, it feels like we're reaching a point where I don't know how much longer Boogie's going to be a King.
Yeah, it almost feels as if he's, like, throwing in the towel, where in the past it was like Boogie just being Boogie, but now it's a bit too much where he's like calling it.
I think he's drained. It got to him.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't even know what the Kings' record is, but they probably won't make the playoffs. It was his seventh season in the league.
Yeah. And he's never been.
Like, not even close.
No. And the thing was, it's like that performance where he got, you know, ejected and then unejected, which had never happened before, I'm pretty sure. He dropped 55 and, like, pretty much won that game for them. Like, he's really fucking good. I think he's still the best center in the NBA. Sorry, Rudy Gobert. Wow. I like your confidence, Rudy Gobert, but Boogie Cousins is... I mean, Rudy Gobert does frustrate Boogie Cousins sometimes, but, like, Boogie... I want to see Boogie on a real team so bad.
Do you think he changes if he's on a winning team? Because I used to think so.
I still think he does. I really do.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if he does.
7 years he's been there. And it gets like worse somehow every year.
He's had this bad rap since he was in Kentucky, though. And he was
He got along so well. Like, you heard good things about him from Cal. You heard good things about him from John Wall. Like, I think Boogie is just a little, I think temperamental might be a fair word. And I don't want to be one of the many people who sits up here on ivory towers talking shit about Boogie. But I think he is a little, you know, he can get a little emotional, but that can be a good thing too. Like, I think if Boogie was together with, like, John Wall or somebody else, like, some real players winning games, I think, importantly, I think a real coach. And I think Jaeger's the closest he's had. But, like, I really think if he was in, like, Boston would be a good one. Dallas, I'd like to see him in Dallas with Carlisle. Like, a coach who wouldn't let Boogie fuck around. I think that'd be
How do you think he changes if he's in like a Washington or a Dallas?
I mean, if it's you hope he has a better team around him, and just I think culture matters too. And I think a lot of it depends on how he's received. Like, if the media in, let's say, Washington, like, let's say he gets there and he has a couple bad games and just gets torn apart, I could see it not working. I think you kind of have to be, like, a little supportive of him at first, and I don't know how that goes. It depends on where he goes. But did you see Bill Simmons' two pieces on Boogie?
I did not.
it was fascinating. He wrote two, they were both purely hypothetical pieces on like the quote unquote Boston boogie trade. And one was it worked out great and they won like three titles or whatever. They just won one and they were about to win another one or something. And the other one was like the other, like if it goes poorly and like they lost everything and the Celtics are like a dumpster team again and they never got good. They traded all their assets for Boogie. And it's like, it was so good because first off, totally misreading Bill Simmons's writing. You kind of forget why he is where he is. Second off, because you can easily see either thing happening. That's like the
Yeah,
fascinating part about
absolutely.
Boogie. Either thing could happen.
And the thing about that is, I'm not sure teams are going to be willing to trade real assets for him anymore. Like, he's not helping in this case by doing these sort of things.
I feel like it's half and half. Like, I think there are teams. I mean, we've heard reports from, I forget who did this story, Howard Beck. It was Howard Beck. And he had said that, you know, there are some teams where, like, I wouldn't give up anything for him. But I feel like there's other teams who are like, he's still Boogie. Like, it's still, I mean, the talent's there. You can put up 55 points just dominating the other team. I mean, the Trailblazers are the worst defense in the NBA. But he can, I mean, Boogie is fantastic. And he's not that bad in defense either. He's a pretty good defender. I mean, I just think someone would still go for it. I think really, the more I think about it, and I wrote about this for Hoops Habit like yesterday or 2 days ago, Dallas is a team who I think is going to trade for a star because they're going to have a top pick. And I mean, you look at the last star to get traded was Kevin Love. It took one overall pick, and then Anthony Bennett is a throw-in. You know, the guy before that was Melo. It was one first-round pick, four role players, and 2 second-round picks. The Mavericks have a great first-round pick. They have all their picks. They can maybe flip Bogut for something if he gets healthy. I've heard he could be worth a first-round pick from a contender. So you look at two firsts in this draft. They have a second coming in, two going out, but they're both like 31 to 55 protected, so really none going out. Plus they have some fun young guys like Dwight Powell, Dorian Finney-Smith, who is, according to Zach Lowe, frisky. He's frisky, that's something. And they have Seth Curry, who, I mean, everyone hopes he's going to turn into Steph Curry someday. I think they could really trade for a star, though. Like, they low-key have the ammo. It's mostly the pick, let's be honest, but that's
But
a
then what
huge
though?
chip.
Then he's playing for a bad Dallas team.
I mean, Boogie, Harrison Barnes, role players. This summer, they retool a little bit. They have a great coach. They wouldn't be good this year, but I could see them being decent next year. Imagine if they found a way to add a guard, like a good guard. Boogie Cousins and Harrison Barnes, and then solid role players. That's a good team. I don't know what
I
guard they'd
guess,
add.
but with that said, do you think he'll even get traded?
I mean, how long can they hold him? Like, how many disasters can they have in a row? I don't know. It just feels weird. It's one of those situations where, like, I'm not 100% confident, but it feels. I mean, but it's the thing. The other thing is, it's felt like this for a while. Everyone's been saying this is the most obvious trade that'll happen, but I think it has gotten worse this year. So I don't know if they will for sure. There's so many weird ownership things in Sacramento. There's like 90 owners. And from what I hear, 89 of them want to trade Boogie. But Vivek Ranadive is the big, you know, kingpin, and he doesn't want to trade him. So I don't really know. There's only so much I feel like that can happen before you kind of have to. But I mean, they don't want to take pennies on the dollar. They don't have anything. Like, their best young player is probably Willie Cauley-Stein, which is all right, fine. It's like worse Nerlens Noel, and I don't really want to build a team around Nerlens Noel in the first place. It's tough for them. They'd have to get a real good haul, I think, and that's the problem. Like you said, how many teams want to give up a haul like that?
Isn't it amazing how they missed the playoffs for 98 consecutive years and they have nothing to show for it?
Someone put up their lottery picks and like the points per game, and it was so rough, man. It was like Ben Ma since Boogie. It was like Ben McLemore, Papi Giannis, like Jimmer.
Yeah.
I think Jimmer led the group in points per game at like 9, and then
God.
it's Willie Cauley-Stein. They blew a lot of draft picks. Oh,
Dude, bring Jimmer back, man.
Stauskas.
Stauskas.
Well, they have a pretty decent roster this year. That's the thing. Like, they had their best roster maybe since Boogie's been there. Like, they have some
I guess on
lineups.
paper, right? Like who? I don't know
They
if they
have
have a good
some.
run.
They
Like
have.
Ty
They have.
Lawson was good pre-alcoholism.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean Darren Collison was
Aaron
good
Aflalo was good. Yeah, like I don't know.
pre domestic abuse, which is always shitty.
Yeah. Right.
But like I like some of their wing players. Rudy Gay's been out of his mind this year, but he literally said, "I don't want to be here."
Yeah, which I don't blame him.
No, it's like they need to honestly find a way to rebuild the entire franchise. And it sucks too because like I feel bad for the Kings fans because they're a pretty good group of people, and they've just been like suffering for so long, and they don't know how to feel about Boogie either. Because after a while, if one guy doesn't win in one place, even if he's amazing, you just like, all right, come on, like, you just get frustrated. It's like, why are we not winning if you're so damn good?
And then they're gonna trade him for young assets and still lose. You know? Well,
and it further complicates things. They're in a new building now. Like, they want to make the playoffs right. for their new building. They're not going to, I don't think. Especially if they trade Boogie, they definitely won't. Is a Rudy Gay trade even going to happen? Here's the other thing we haven't even talked about yet. Vlade Divac might be the worst GM in the NBA. Like, there's reports that he just does not know what he's doing. So that might be part of it, too.
Yeah, because, he's never
done it before.
Sort of
yeah,
thing.
Like
he's not good at it.
Every trade he's done has been just, like, terrible. Like, he overpaid for Rondo last year, which, whatever, who cares, it's just cap space. But to make room that cap space, he traded away, like, two veterans and Stauskas. I want to say it was Carl Landry, someone else, and Stauskas. And, like, a first-round pick and a protected first for cap space to sign Rondo. And it was just like, why? Like,
yeah, that doesn't make sense.
I think that's part of it. That might be part of, you know, where they don't want to trade him because, like, do you trust you're going to get any sort of a good haul? Are you going to come away with, like, Isaiah Thomas and a second round pick or two? Like, that's obviously not worth it.
It would be hilarious if they traded for Isaiah Thomas.
It would be hysterical if they traded for Isaiah Thomas. Well, I mean, imagine, like, Danny Ainge is known as the opposite. You know, he's like a shark. Like, guys don't want to trade with him anymore sometimes. So, like, I could totally see the Boogie trade being, like, you know, Boston's pick this year because it's a swap with the Nets, and the Nets are obviously keeping it. So, like, this year – oh, no. How does No. The Nets aren't keeping it. I'm sorry. Like, somehow, like, a bad Brooklyn pick or a Celtics pick down the line or something like that, and then, like, a 3 or 4 second-rounders, I think they have a bunch, and, like, Jay Crowder for Boogie. And, you know, Sacramento's just like, what the fuck just happened? Like, I don't know. Is he worth one Brooklyn pick?
I'm most afraid he'll end up in, like, a random spot, you know?
Like, where?
No, he's worth more than that, isn't he?
I think so. I mean, this draft is a good draft if you want to tank. Because, like, it seems like everyone in this draft is super exciting. Malik Monk is not a top four prospect.
I've admittedly haven't seen any college basketball, so I have no idea. I have heard the same thing, though.
I mean, everything, like, I've watched some highlights, and, like, there was a game, it was Kentucky-North Carolina, and the final score was, like, 103-100, and it was in regulation, which is insane for college, and Malik Monk dropped, like, 47 points. That was exciting. And that guy's not even one of, the top 3 or 4 or 5 prospects. Like, they have some real good guys in this draft. But it's tough out here. It really is.
Yeah, I stopped caring because the Wizards are just going to end up trading their first-round pick again, you know? So it's like, what's the point?
Yeah. Do you think they are? Do you think that do they have Boogie like trade chips? They'd probably have to trade Wall and Beal, right?
No, I don't know. I mean, when I went to DC a few weeks ago, it's probably like a month at this point. I had dinner with one of the beat writers, and they told me that the Wizards straight up have no interest in trading for him because they think he's just an awful dude.
So they're
and I think
that
that's
camp.
The consensus amongst most teams.
Yeah,
yeah, but I mean, if it comes down to it, and the trade is on the line where they don't have to give up a Beal, I think they'd at least consider it, especially since Walls has 2 years left on his deal, and you don't want to miss the playoffs again with him on your roster, because I think he bounces if you do. And you got to do whatever it takes to keep him happy.
Yeah, well, I mean, what would the best case be? Like, Otto Porter and 2 firsts?
It would be like Otto, one of the big men, probably Gortat, because maybe he's dead. And like a Kelly Oubre or something like that.
And 2 firsts?
2 firsts?
I don't know. I have no idea what the Boogie market is. Probably 1.
Yeah, like Otto, Gortat, and a first-round pick.
If I'm the Wizards, I'd probably at least consider it.
Definitely, you do that.
Yeah, you have to do that.
Otto's having a really good year, and I think he could be like the third best player on a winning team, maybe.
Yeah, but the Wizards kind of have like 2 or 3 of those guys right now, and that just doesn't work. Do you think Wall could be the best player on a title team?
It depends on who's around him, but
I think he needs to be part of like
imagine.
I think he needs to be 1B. I feel like there needs to be 1A, 1B.
If like a Wall Boogie Beal trio could probably contend for a championship, I think.
If they had really good surrounding pieces and a good coach, which maybe they have.
Yeah. Which I think they do. Scott Brooks
You like Scotty?
see has been solid this season.
They pulled it
He's been solid
together.
this
They
season. I
pulled
mean
it
he all
together.
right, so Scott Brooks has like seven dudes on the roster who probably shouldn't even be in the NBA.
Is Thornton the worst? I've heard bad things about
Oh man,
Marcus Thornton.
he's actually been okay recently, but overall he's probably the worst player ever, right next to Eric Maynor.
What about Ryan Hollins and the Nudes? Is he still in the NBA? I haven't checked. He must be
I don't know,
somewhere.
but he's holding on to them Ernie Grunfeld nudes, and he's showing them like, you better cut one of the rookies for me, or these are gonna leak very soon, Ernie.
What happened to Jan Mahimi? Do we
He
know?
like hurt his knee. No, we know. It's hilarious. You should read the press release. He hurt his knee, right? Prior to the beginning of the season, had surgery on it, and they're like, he's out 4 to 6 weeks, which that's always sketchy with the Wizards. 4 to 6 weeks could be an eternity. He came back for one game.
Yeah, I saw he played one
Like, I
game.
was
I
watching
didn't
him
think he
shoot
did.
around. Yeah, he played one game. I was watching the dude shoot around live, and I was like, he's clearly super stiff. Like, this dude is not ready. He came back for one game. He hurt himself the other knee
My
while
God.
preparing to play. Like, he hurt the other knee rehabbing. It was hilarious how they put it. They're like, Yamahimi hurt his other knee while trying to get better from the other knee. Like, you couldn't even rehab properly. Like, the dude got hurt rehabbing, and now he's out another 6 weeks with some random ass surgery procedure that no one's ever heard of.
It's always sketchy when you get the weird press releases. Like last year, when now banned from the NBA, OJ Mayo got hurt. He had the stomach flu, and then he fell down the stairs, was what we heard. And he's just like, what?
Wow.
So who knows what happened there? Yeah, he can't play for he's I think it's indefinitely for the substance abuse policy or something like that. So. Yeah, sometimes you get the weird ones, the real weird ones. It's always fun when your team trades for or signs a guy who's hurt. The Bucks traded a first round pick for Greivis Vasquez, even though he had bone spurs. So he played like 23 games, and they
Dude,
gave
look
up
at
that
this.
Clippers
During
pick.
I'm reading it. This is straight off the press release. During the rehabilitation process, he aggravated his right knee and sustained a bone bruise in his left knee. What were you doing, bro? Were you
Jeez.
doing the stanky leg with both legs?
That's pretty stanky. That's a stanky $16 million a year
Yes.
contract.
4 years, man.
A good thing you told me Gortat hasn't actually been good, but good thing Gortat's playing still. If they didn't have Gortat right now, it'd be bad.
He's lost some weight, I think he's better. But it's amazing how Zach Lowe reported that the Kings must have signed Luol Deng and got $1 million more from the Lakers. So they dodged the bullet with Luol Deng, who's been awful. Arguably the worst signing of the offseason. Career lows all across the board. And then they were like, all right, now we got to go with Mahimi. Give him an extra year.
Well,
Like, they dodged the bullet and just jumped in front of a moving train.
were you the one who had tweeted something like,
Essentially.
what was Mahimi, their fifth option? Their fourth or fifth option now? How many guys did they go for? I mean, obviously KD was the
Oh man, they
first.
came. AD wasn't even an option. He was just like, don't even call me. Like, he straight up said, don't call me, and like hung up before they even had the chance. Al Horford, I think, took a meeting. Like, that was a report. He took a meeting. Not sure if it ever happened. Like, it kind of just ended there.
Oh, this
Like,
could be like
Horford meeting.
the fictional DeAndre Jordan meeting with the Bucks last year.
Yeah.
He never met with the Bucks, but they
Yeah.
said
Like,
he was like,
I hit up a player on the Wizards. If he went to the meeting, and he usually gets back to me, and no one got back to me, I was just like, it's
yeah.
kind of sketchy. No one else was reporting on it.
Well, this
Like, they
is,
might have had one.
you know, your team has not gotten many free agents when the report, and this was an exciting report in Milwaukee, was DeAndre Jordan open to take a meeting or something like that. Like he never, they said he would take a meeting, but he didn't. And that was like, oh my God, DeAndre Jordan is considered, like
You know what happened
he would
there?
have
Like,
signed and then
his
left
agent was
Milwaukee.
like, yeah, his agent was like, DeAndre, the Milwaukee Bucks are interested, and he was like, cool. And someone reported, like, he didn't say no. And Bucks fans were like, holy shit, he didn't say
Oh
no.
my God,
You
this
know?
is the closest we've ever gotten.
Yeah.
And then they signed Greg Monroe.
Right. So they went through KD and Horford, and then they came close to signing Ryan Anderson and just never followed up, I guess. Yes, and he went and he got sick of waiting. No, honest. And then who else did they whiff on? Evan Turner, who his
Oh
agent
my
told me that they were
God.
interested, whiffed on him, and then whiffed on Luol Deng, and then signed Yohimi. So he's
No,
like the sixth option, I believe.
I heard about the Evan Turner thing. Like the Wizards had given him like a real like meet like a logical offer, and then he got the offer from Portland, and like he called someone like some player, and they were like, "Take that Portland deal right today." So that's why he went to Portland, is because the Wizards gave him an offer that made sense for Evan, as much as an Evan Turner contract can make sense. That would have been weird for them though. Like they already have wings.
Do they though? Like, I mean, who are the wings? You got Brad Otto, Kelly, Marcus Thornton. Like, that's the thing. Like, they wasted all of their cap space, which they saved up for years. Like, they waited years since 2012 for
Kevin Durant.
2016's free agency
Yeah.
and signed no one. Like, they signed Andrew Nicholson and Jason Smith.
Jason Smith, I
Like,
was
that
so
was it.
mad. He was doing real things against the Bucks, I think, the last time these teams played. And I was getting pissed off. I was like, I talk
You
so
should
much
be.
shit about Jason Smith.
Oh no, talk that shit, Ty. He's
Not
awful.
against the Bucks. He scored like 4 points. I was like, this is bullshit. That's too many.
Yeah, if he scores two, it's too many. The guy had a negative player efficiency rating for 90% of the season. I've never seen that before in my life. Like, I looked through the roster and it was like negative 7.24. I was like, what? I didn't even know that was possible.
I did not know that was a thing.
I
That's
didn't either.
insane. That's crazy. That's actually crazy. So these two
It
teams
breaks
play.
my heart because, like, not even because, like, they're bad and the team is bad, nor the fans. They've dealt with it. Like, build a callus by now. This is what you should expect. But, like, John Wall, like, he waited 4 years for this free agency period.
And
And then he
then
got to dish the ball to an open Jason Smith who bricks open jump shots. It's like, this is all you got for me?
Oh yeah, that's what I want to talk about before we get to the game tonight, which is between the Bucks and the Wizards. There's John Wall talks. I know Ted Leonsis is very pro John Wall, so it seems like a deal won't be done. And now they're winning games too. If they cratered again, is there any chance that John Wall gets traded, forces his way out, anything like that?
I don't think there's any chance he gets traded, nor that he forces his way. I think he's embraced the city so much, the fans, and the team. And he's such a loyal dude. I think to a fault, same thing with Boogie, where the team is just hell-bent on keeping him. And I think he's such a nice dude where he doesn't want to disappoint the fans. And he
Yeah.
feels as if he's obligated to try and make the team better, even though he knows that they've kind of failed to build a team around him. And he's been so patient. Like, finally Bradley Beal is coming together, but I don't know how healthy he'll be. You just have to keep crossing your fingers. Like, Otto Porter is playing pretty well, and Kelly Oubre has shown flashes, and I think that's kind of just what keeps him going and keeps him content. I personally believe that the team would be in a way better position if John was a more aggressive dude, where if he came even the owner Ted Leonsis and told him, like, I definitely need more help, which is obvious. Like,
Yeah.
he wouldn't even be an irrational dude for saying that. Like, you whiffed on every draft except for one, maybe. Like, you drafted Jan Vesely. I waited 4 years for 2016 free agency to finally give me some help, and you got me Smith and Andrew Nicholson. I'm like, do something and, like, do it now, or I can't keep wasting the prime of my career here.
Do you think that Rudy Gay would be fun in Washington?
It would be super fun because, as sad as it is, he'd probably be like the third best player John's ever played with. And he's
Who's the
from the
second?
DC
Brad
area.
Beal? Is Brad Beal the second?
Or top, probably.
Gortat, yeah, Gortat's the Polish hammer, man.
Just for like a consistent period of time. Like, Brad's has been really good this year, but
Yeah.
we're not even 30 games into the season, you know?
Yeah, I mean, Rudy Gay is maligned as Rudy Gay is. I mean, he's been really good this year. It might be a contract year thing, but he's been really good this year. And apparently Orlando's sniffing around him, which makes sense, but they'd probably like play him at the two or something like that because they don't know what the fuck's going on there. They really think Aaron Gordon's a three. Like, why not just run
Dude, I
Kenneth
don't know.
Faried at
That team's
point
so.
guard?
I love Aaron Gordon too. They have such a weird team. Like, they have so many bigs that just don't fit together.
Yeah, they signed Biombo, they traded for Ibaka. Like, you don't need three, four guys who can play center anymore. The Bucks should have tried to trade
Yeah.
them somebody. This Miles Plumlee contract is distressing. He doesn't play. Like, he's the victory cigar now, and he gets 15 or 12.5 million a year. 4 years, victory cigar.
And the Wizards, who spent have 100 something million dollars tied to their center position, would kill for Miles Plumlee right now.
You want to trade?
Absolutely.
I don't know who we'd get for Miles. If there was a Miles Plumlee trade out there, I think the Bucks would make it.
I don't know who you can possibly get from Washington. Like I said, they have seven dudes who shouldn't be in the NBA on the roster.
If salaries didn't have to match, we'd totally take just some random garbage, whoever, just to get the contract off the books. They still have to pay Jabari. Yeah. Jabari hasn't signed. He can't sign his extension yet.
If I named these three players, do you know any of them? Daniel House. Sheldon McClellan.
I have heard of him before. House was
Daniel
new.
Ochefu.
See, I always think Uchefu is a rookie, but he's not, is he? Or is he?
Exactly. He is. But, who the hell is he?
At first, I thought he was Onuwaku, who's on, the Rockets. And I was like, oh, wow, they got him on their team. And I was like, oh, wait, no, that's not him. That's a different guy.
No, it's a different dude who apparently played for the Villanova championship team. I saw,
Was he that huge dude?
The Wizards are in that position. The dude had a wide open arm. Yeah, he's huge.
Yeah.
He got a... so nervous because it was the first time touching a basketball, or it was the first time playing in the NBA. But he threw the ball against the backboard. he just threw it. It was wide open. But he just threw it against the glass, and it just flew to the other side of the court. And people were like, "What the hell? Does he know what sport he's playing? What the hell did he just do?"
That's hilarious.
And Scott Brooks was like, "That's all I got. That's all I got." And he had to keep playing him.
It's tough out here, man. It really is. Let's talk about this game tonight. These two teams play each other. I do our predictions every week, and I always get them wrong. I'm not last at Behind the Buck Pass, so shout out me. I said they were going to beat the Cavs twice because they play the Cavs close, and the Cavs are banged up. And then they're going to lose to the Wizards because that's just classic Bucks. And they lost to the Cavs twice. So now if I could, I would change my – I think they'll beat the Wizards now. Because now they're all going to be pissed off because they lost to the Cavs twice. But who do you think is going to win? It's in Milwaukee.
I'll probably give it to Washington just because they seriously have legitimate momentum on their side.
Yeah, they're 4-1 over the last five.
I wouldn't be surprised if they just don't do anything with it. But yeah, and they could have easily been 5-0. They just lost by 2 points to the Pacers. So.
Yeah, they Beal's been – I think he had 4 20-point games and a 40-point game in that stretch. They're 7-0 or 6-1 when he dishes 5 assists, by the way. There's your fun wizard stat. So if Beal can be more of a secondary
player. Beal has low-key but become one of the... I think he's become one of the best scorers in the league, and he's doing it more so from just the three-point line, where last year you saw him try and mix it up, try and become something he's not, as opposed to just focusing on what you're... Which I always found it funny in the league where dudes try and step outside their comfort zone and just stay outside their comfort zone where you have to own in what you're good at. And he's taking 6-7 threes a game now as opposed to trying to dribble around defenders and losing the ball and whatnot.
Shout out
Chris
Humphries.
He's hitting threes at the highest rate of his career. Exactly. Shout out to Chris Humphries, who the Wizards ruined. Or not, Kim Kardashian ruined him before him, probably, right?
Was he with Kim? No, he was with Khloe.
Oh, my God. No!
What? Was he
no,
with Kim?
No, dude, he was with Kim. What planet are you from?
We've had this conversation before. I don't watch the Kardashian shows.
You don't have to watch it to know this, though. This is
Chris Humphries put Kim
knowledge.
Kardashian? How did she go from Reggie Bush and Kanye to Chris Humphries?
Dude, Chris Humphries was married to her for 10 minutes and said, I'm out.
Oh,
I'm out.
Yeah.
I cannot become.
It was 16 days or something.
He bounced. Yeah.
Chris Humphries dumped Kim Kardashian?
I don't know how it happened, but he's no longer with her. And guess what? Still in the NBA, isn't in brothels overdosing.
Oh,
didn't become
dude.
A woman.
Wait, what? Oh.
I'm just saying, Kardashians... change
yeah,
people.
They ruin people.
For better and worse,
maybe. At first I thought you meant Lamar Odom had become a woman. I was like, what the hell? That'd be a story.
How dope would that be? That'd be dope.
The Kardashians would be like, They'd give him his own show. That's what they do.
Dude, what do you think Lamar's name would be if he transitioned to a woman?
Would they just be lazy and like throw an A on that, like Lamara? Amara? Amara is like a real name.
I think he like changes it to like Martha. Just flips the world around.
Martha Odom?
Everyone changes his last name to Kardashian.
Everyone gets a TV show now. Who is it? Travis Kelce is a tight end on the Chiefs, and he has a dating show. Everyone gets a TV show now. Kobe's producing shows on Christmas Day for the NBA. Kobe's show, I don't know if you've seen this at all. Kobe's going to have a show that premieres on Christmas, so 2 days from now. And it's called Guarding the Greats. And I really wonder if it's just like Kobe making people talk about how hard it is to guard Kobe. Like, is it going to be an hour of like, hey, how hard is it to guard me? It's hard, right? And they're going to be like, it's fucking hard. Yeah, Kobe, it was hard. Tell them about that time I dropped 100 on you in practice.
Yep. Do you think Jalen Rose accepts an invitation to that show?
Didn't Kobe like break Jalen Rose in that 82 point game? Jalen was on the Raptors.
He dropped 82 on him, and Jalen like Googles Jalen Rose 80 or Twitters Jalen Rose 82, and if you ever like mentioned it, he blocks your ass immediately.
Are you blocked by Jalen Rose?
History.
Are you blocked by Jalen Rose?
I'm not, but if you tweet Jalen Rose 82, he will find it and block you.
That's crazy. It's funny how you can get blocked on Twitter.
No, he really does
stuff. I'm surprised I haven't been blocked by Andre.
Yeah,
Drummond
I'm blocked
yet.
By Steph Marbury.
A lot of people are. Snotty is too. He doesn't even know why.
Why? Like I never did anything.
It's weird. I know a couple people who are randomly blocked by Starberry, and I don't know why. And he just released.
Although
something ugly.
I did watch. I watched Steph Marbury eat Vaseline live.
What?
Over some like webcam service. Do you not know he did this?
No.
Yeah, he did this. He was like losing his mind. Like I think that was like right before he ended up on the Celtics. He was like, this Vaseline.
Maybe, did you tweet about it? Is
and
that
like,
why is 18 that why he
year
blocked
old me, or however old I was. I don't remember tweeting about it, but I think he blocked me because of that, maybe. But I do remember him vividly eating Vaseline on webcam.
He looked up all the IP addresses of people watching. He's just like, I just gotta preemptively block them all. That's smart by Starberry's part. He released shoes recently. You couldn't see because he has you blocked, but they're really ugly. Like they are like light up cutaways for adults, and you can like zip them from being high tops to low tops for $50. I'm not purchasing them. Sorry, so I'm gonna be blocked next.
I am.
are you gonna?
I'm gonna buy Starberry's. I'm supporting you, Starberry.
Are you gonna eat Vaseline?
Even
enough?
Though you blocked me. Right?
Are you going to chomp down some Vaseline
Maybe.
In the Starbucks?
You never know. Things get weird.
I'll turn on the webcam and be like, what is Ben doing over here?
Yeah.
I feel like I had... Did you hear about Joel Embiid's craziness? He did an Instagram live video. And he was just like going crazy, like rapping apparently. And I heard all this from the replay with L and L. Shout out to them. It's like a step back podcast on Fansided. And I was listening to them talk about this. And at one point, apparently, he went like, I'm so high. And everyone's like, oh, no. And he goes, on Shirley Temple's. And he makes himself a Shirley Temple at his bar in his house in Philly. Joel Embiid's fucking crazy. This is the future of our NBA, is this dude making Shirley Temple's. In his house, on Instagram.
I kind of like the future of the league, man.
I mean, it's him and Giannis is a smoothie addict, although he's not never on Instagram Live.
I didn't even know Instagram Live was a thing.
It's new. Chandler Parsons is pseudo in trouble because, like, he was on some girls, like, streaming, and apparently he commented, show me your tits, apparently. I've seen the picture. Not of him commenting it.
Way to go, picture. Chandler.
That's not a good look, bro. Especially if you're Chandler Parsons.
Also, who does that? What are you, 8 years old?
Yeah, what are you, 8
Show
First
me
off,
your boobs.
Yeah, that's...
Okay, Chandler, what the hell?
And he's supposed to be like a ladies' man. Like, I'm wondering if these, like, reports are actually not true about him being a ladies' man. If that's how he's out here acting.
No.
I mean, Tony Allen
Chandler
says
had
he is.
Zero game.
Who knows? I mean... Maybe he knew her. Maybe it was like a joke. I don't know. It doesn't look good. I'm not trying to defend Chandler Parsons. I think he's doing fine on his own. He's getting paid.
You're whack, Chandler. On record, you got me on record
It's
saying
on
Chandler is
record.
whack.
On record. See, I'm disappointed because, like, Giannis and Jabari are both very quiet. Like, they're not really on social media that much at all, especially Jabari. Like, Jabari is, like, just what? Like, he's just, like, he plays, he's, like, Kawhi-esque. Like, he plays basketball and then goes home. And plays more basketball, presumably.
Yeah, the Wizards really don't have anyone who's vocal either. Except,
I mean,
John Wall,
yeah,
second in the league in technical fouls. His buddy Boogie's first.
I mean, John Wall spent $50K at a strip club. Like, John Wall gets out here sometimes. Hood charity, as Jalen Rose called it. But, I mean,
yeah.
Yeah,
he does a lot of charity for, like, underprivileged kids. Like,
underprivileged strippers.
I don't know what happened to those girls, underprivileged children. Under, I don't know, girls, whatever you call those strippers.
He's out here trying.
I got an invitation to go to a strip club with one of the Wizards' assistant coaches, whom I won't name.
Yeah,
when I was in
that's
D.C.
a good call. You didn't go?
No, hell no. He was like, dude, one of the, he didn't say dude. He's like, one of them chicks, I swear to God, tore the ACL last week or something on stage. That's what he said. After the Wizards just lost, and I was like, great.
Is that where Jan Mahimi was? Jan Mahimi
Maybe
was
he was the stripper, too.
Jan Mahimi, like, got a little drunk, went up on stage, tried to twirl around, just blam, both knees on the pole.
Or maybe didn't get up on stage. Maybe that's just, like, what he does. He'd be the worst stripper ever.
He's very big, yeah. You need to get out to D.C. and investigate this strip club. Go to all the strippers. Has Jan Mahimi been in here? Have you seen? They'd be like, who the fuck is that?
He's like, oh, you mean Destiny? She in the back. This is like Jan Mahimi with a wig on. Knee braces, worst stripper ever.
Him and Ryan Hollis.
He's already, like, terribly clumsy, you know? It's like, what are you doing on that pole?
When he first,
Jan,
even if he was healthy, that deal, it's like, he's, like, just a big lumbering dude. He's fine as,
yeah,
like, a backup.
Big, you know?
Everyone got paid this summer, man. It was crazy.
Yeah, it really was. And we got none of it.
No, I didn't get any.
And I feel like I could have produced more than some dudes, maybe, right?
We should get you out there and have you try out against some of these guys you mentioned whose names I already don't remember, except for Sheldon McClellan.
Oh, I would get lit up, man.
You don't got it?
I don't know. Ochefu, though? Like, he seriously threw the ball against the backboard.
Maybe you got Ochefu's spot. I don't know if you can defend bigs.
He won't get the ball back, I don't think. Like, we'll play make it take it.
You would dust him that hard.
Maybe.
Are you a shooter or a slasher?
Yeah, I'm a shooter, but, like, he's so big, I might be able to get by him. Like, he's never played basketball before, I don't think.
See, that's, if you're a shooter, you can get a contract these days. I'm surprised Jimmer hasn't gotten $10 million yet.
Dude, he deserves to be in the league.
He
just
can shoot.
Like, not even because he could shoot, because, like he's Mormon and they're so dope.
I think Jabari is, maybe.
Yo, do you know how dope these people are? I was so cold in Manhattan yesterday, and in front of this Mormon church. It's called the Church of Latter-day Saints. We went over my
Yeah, didn't we have a thing about this already?
Yeah, we did. And they had free hot chocolate.
Oh, man.
They were just like, here's a hot chocolate. I was like, you guys are the best. Like, I converted. I was like, I'm Mormon now. And he gave me a hot chocolate. So clutch. Shout out to Jimmer.
So you know you're not allowed to drink anymore now.
Yeah.
Did you just convert back? Is that what that noise was?
Yeah. I, like, changed my mind. I don't know how that works.
I'm pretty sure that's a thing. I saw it on Family Guy.
What do you mean? Oh, no, they can't drink. Like, they can't.
Yeah. So
but, like,
much
what's
for
the
that.
Process? What do I do now?
Now? What are you? You're a. I think DC sports is, like, its own horrible religion.
It really is.
I think we've talked about that. Are you a fan of all DC sports or just the Wizards?
Just the Wizards. Like, God for, like, imagine trying to follow the Redskins or something.
You can't even say their name without being an asshole.
Exactly. Like, I felt bad saying it.
Yeah. I didn't want to. That's why I just said DC sports. No one gives a shit about the Caps or the Nationals.
Yeah.
So, you New York for everything else?
I'm not. I don't care for anything else.
You just don't
bad.
Care. No,
I
mean,
don't, like, at all.
I'm a Saints fan, but I have not watched a Saints game this year. Partly because they're not on TV. Partly
so not
because
a fan.
If they remade the Book of Job, it'd be like the Book of Drew Brees now. Because it's just like Drew Brees has to, he throws 5,000 yards every year and they win like five games. They win one game for every 1,000 yards he throws. Like if they wanted to go to the playoffs, he would have to throw 10,000 yards. They'd go 10-6. They'd lose in the second round.
See, like, I try to get behind that, and I tried watching baseball for a small period of time, and I never made it through a single game. It's just dudes almost hitting the ball, missing, and then hitting it once every 16, 17 minutes, I think.
It's tough, because I grew up a big baseball fan. I had this podcast with Andrew Snyder, shout out to him, a month or two ago now, maybe longer than that. And it's, like, tough, because, like, he's still a baseball guy. I have not watched, like, I'll watch parts of the games with my dad, but I didn't watch, like, the playoffs or the Cubs or anything. And it was, like, literally the most exciting baseball moment in, like, 100 years or whatever, because baseball is super old. But I can't sit through a whole game. It's so long. Like, you watch a basketball game, there's not, like, 4 minutes without a dunk happening. And, like, you can turn on Twitter and watch other players tweet about the game you're watching while you're watching it. And sometimes you watch the players themselves be doing some real crazy stuff, like the boogie thing the other night. And it's just, like, such a superior entertainment product to baseball. It's so, like, a dunk is more exciting than anything except, like, a grand slam, which happens, like, 10 times a year.
Right, and if someone invented baseball right now, as you said, it was super old, do you think it would even catch on? I don't think
it'd be completely different. It'd be, like, I think just, like, here's the thing about baseball that's, I think is, like, kind of kills it. It stops too often. Mm-hmm. It's like start, stop, start, stop, start, stop. It's like people these days want just like motion, like go, go, go. Like I think they'd probably be played more like cricket if they invented it today. Like it'd just keep going. Like cricket's kind of lit. I almost hope cricket catches on because like I see, like shout out Tim Ray. You're just laughing now. Shout out Tim Ray. He writes it behind the Buck Pass and he's Australian and he'll like retweet cricket stuff sometimes. And like I'll watch these fucking GIFs and Vines. And I'm like cricket looks insane.
Dude, you just said the phrase that has never been said in the history of humans.
What's that?
Cricket is kind of lit.
It's not, I'm not wrong. I'm not wrong. Cricket is... They should call it Lick It. Oh, no, they shouldn't.
Lick It? What, dude? That's a game that we can't even discuss here.
We can't talk about that.
We can't. We can't.
We can't talk about that game here. That's a whole different game.
Yeah, but you said it like I didn't.
You're not getting in trouble yet this time.
Yeah.
I think every time we end up saying something we shouldn't. I think we've been done pretty well this time.
Yeah.
I mean, we called Yamahimi a stripper.
But, like, we didn't lie. Like, we just...
We didn't lie.
We just, like...
It was pure conjecture. It was pure conjecture.
Yeah, right.
But it's also fact. I feel like there's another story in the NBA right now, but I can't even put my finger on it. Is it bittersweet watching Kevin Durant, or you just not care?
I love it.
Yeah, it's fun to watch.
Yeah. It absolutely is.
They're averaging like 30 assists per game, and the team in second has like 25. And the Suns have 19. Like, they're 10 assists per game better than the Suns. That's ridiculous.
Like, I don't even know who plays for the Suns except for Jared Dudley.
Oh, shout out. Poor Jared Dudley, man.
Is he?
Oh, but he's making money, but he's on the Suns.
Like willingly, though. Like, he knew they were going to suck.
Well, yeah, but $10 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
I wish the Bucks.
How's Mirza been?
He's been Mirza. Mirza.
He's been good?
He just shoots everything. I get so mad.
He shoots all of that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. If Mirza touches the ball, Mirza's shooting. Yeah. I get mad when he drives because he's bad at it. And he tries to do it now because everyone closes out on him because they know he's going to shoot. So he like pulls it down and like steamrolls into the paint, but he never, ever, ever makes it to the rim. Someone gets in the way and he has no idea what to do. Like if he's not at the rim or shooting, he has no idea what he's doing. Like, so he just like gets stuck like in mid range and just like he kind of pulls Ochefu and just like throws it and it just doesn't work. Like sometimes he kicks out, which is not bad. But, like, otherwise, every single time he gets a pass, it's just shot. It doesn't matter if there's one guy around him, two guys around him. Literally every other buck could be wide open, and he would shoot that shit. And he makes, like, 40% of them. It's ridiculous. He's good.
He takes terrible shots, and he hits them.
Yeah. He's, like, J.R. Smith-esque, except, like, J.R. passes way more. Mirza does not
pass. How is he personality-wise? Mirza? Is he, like, dead behind the eyes, or... Yeah.
I mean, like, have you seen the interviews with him? Where, like, He talked about his homeland. He grew up in Bosnia, and like he would be playing basketball, right. And like bombs fall, and he would like run inside. Yeah. And he said it all with like the most straight face, and like it's hard to like hear too much emotion through like a translator and stuff. I think that one was in a different language. I can't remember exactly, but he was just like dead, like serious. Like he wasn't even real serious. He was just like whatever. He was like, yeah, there were bombs falling, and she's like, holy
shit.
And
now he's like, I'm shooting. Yeah, every single time, because this might be the last time I might shoot.
Yeah, that's how he plays. That's how he plays. That's exactly why it is. But it's like the Bucks kind of needed that, because before it was just like, it was Jared Dudley, and then he got hurt and left, and there was like no one who could shoot. It was like Jared Bayless City. Jared Bayless single-handedly won the Bucks games last year.
Yeah. And you know the thing, I love it, the NBA for the personalities, and the Wizards really lack in that area. So, like, how are the Bucks in that area? Because you had OJ, he's gone forever.
Yeah. They're okay. I mean, like I said, Jabari is like all business. Like the
here's hot chocolate free.
Yeah. Know, like I don't know if he's actually. I don't want to go on the record saying that. I heard that. Like I think he.
No, he is. Up. He is.
I don't. Is he still? I don't
what
know.
What do you mean? You can't back out.
I mean, you can. Lou Alcindor, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, man. Anything can happen. But he's gonna be him, you know. He's like just real like business oriented. Giannis is fun, but he doesn't post stuff. Like he's just fun. The other day, an old interview came back up where they asked all the Bucks like, "What's your favorite alias when you go to hotels?" And this was from a few years ago, but it's still like Giannis is always hilarious. So like they all had theirs. Like John Henson's was extra dumb, and then Giannis was like, "You can do that? I didn't know that was an option." And like everyone just starts laughing because they had no idea. Like he actually put down Giannis Antetokounmpo when he went places. But like mostly if he posts, it's like a picture of like his girl or like him and a girl, which is nice. There's nothing wrong with that, but it's boring. Like I want to see like him like dancing around on hoverboards and shit. And that really hasn't happened since the summer when him and his brother were wilding out in Greece a little bit, which was a lot of fun. But otherwise, I mean, you got like Mirza.
Has Beasley been low key?
Yeah, he's been low key good. They've been shitty without him. He's been like their.
I don't want him to be low key. Like he needs to like smoke weed on the.
He board. He does a nails thing. He does like different colored nails every game.
I like that.
That's fun. And he just cut his hair though, which made a lot of people sad. Jordan Tresky had like the tweet of the year. It was like, my mood reflects what's on Michael Beasley's fingernails, and I was like, amazing. That's awesome. That's awesome. He's been a little fun. There was a video of him not knowing how to use Snapchat, which was cool. Greg Monroe is great, but he can't make layups anymore, which is frustrating because he's supposed to be like this dominant. He's been really good on defense, but like it's like he had to pick one and he picked defense and now his offense is gone. He misses one layup per game. You watch tonight? Are you watching tonight?
I'll probably watch most of it.
You'll see him miss a layup. I guarantee it. And it'll be like not contested. He'll just miss it. It's ridiculous how many layups he misses. He's still been one of their best players, but he can't make layups. And he's never done that much like trying to think who else. Like, Chris Middleton's been hurt, but Chris Middleton's, again, is just, like, quiet. He used to put up on Snapchat. I have my, like, I'm one of, like, the fans who has him on there or whatever. And, like, his Snapchat story would be, like, him watching a movie in his hotel room. Or, like, him watching a movie with the team. Or, like, him at a restaurant. Like, it was never, like, crazy. Miles Plumlee goes out, but he's, like, responsible about how he posts it. He was one of the ones at the strip club. He was at the strip club in L.A. last year before they lost to the Lakers. I remember that. That was the most fun I think we had. Strip club gate, just because we had nothing else to talk about. Miles Plumlee was, like, excitingly throwing dollars. Greg Monroe was nodding. I think Juice was there and Chris Middleton was there. But it was, like, such a low-key strip club video.
Yeah, we don't have anyone, really. Like, no one on our team has a personality whatsoever. Like, Brad Beal tweets every single day. Thank you, God, for giving me another day.
Oh, he's got the Steph Curry thing. Like, Steph tweets, lock in, hashtag Dub Nation, like, every game day.
But it's not even, like, a Steph Curry thing because it's holy. And I don't know whether or not he has it scheduled or he just does it manually.
Yeah.
Yeah. And no one else really has like, Jason Smith is just happy to be there. Daniel Chefu is like, what sport am I playing and why am I here and you're giving me a lot of money to be bad at this? Marcus Thornton, I don't even know if he has a Twitter. Otto Porter doesn't have a Twitter either.
It's annoying how professional our teams are. Like, Malcolm Brogdon is a rookie, and he's, like, the most mature dude out there.
Yeah.
Like, he actually they sounds really like are the very president. Mature. They are. Like,
Kelly Oubre, though. I'll give him. He has personality.
Rashad Vaughn does. That was the same draft, wasn't it?
Yep.
Rashad Vaughn, and that draft must just be litty. Like, Rashad Vaughn's hilarious. Like, he's probably the best one. He's funny. Like, those videos, like, he's like, he's just like crazy. Like, I like cookies. And that became a thing for, like, a while because he likes cookies, apparently. Like, they always do, like, the stuff in the community, and they always send him because he doesn't play much, which is sad because he's actually been pretty good. But he always has fun. Like, he was, like, helping this lady shop and talking about how he's, like, the best cook ever. And, like, I'm pretty sure he makes, like, waffles or something. And he likes cookies. He's pretty fun. They keep trying to make Thon fun. I don't know how fun Thon really is. I think he's more, like, happy to be there because he came from, like, war-torn fucking Africa, like the Sudan, and then he went to Australia and then Canada. I feel like he's just one of those, like, I'm glad I'm here, like Giannis, yeah. Which is fine. Like, there's nothing wrong with these things. Like, obviously, it's good to have a professional team. It's better than, like, the Gilbert Arenas Wizards, but it's like, it gets a little boring.
Is it, though? Would you rather have a Gilbert Arenas Wizards horrible, awful team, not winning a game, super fun, or Milwaukee Bucks...
I mean, it's...
But okay.
It's fun to watch Giannis and Jabari win, though. Like, you root for them.
Okay.
That makes it more fun. But it'd be great if, like... I low-key wish we had someone who's a little bit crazy. Like, it'd be cool if the Bucks snagged Hezonja. Hezonja's nuts. Hezonja thinks he's Kobe. Or, like, MJ. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
I like guys like that. Like, Embiid is fun for that reason. That's not like Tony Allen.
How is Thon Maker? Is he bad or has he not played enough?
He's just young. He's not actually 20. Like, everyone's like, oh, he's 29. He's not. He's really young. You can tell.
Yeah.
Like, his legs are like the size of like my forearms. I don't have very big forearms. Like, he's just a toothpick right now. So if you throw him out there for too long against like a big center, he'd probably break. They don't really let him do much. He plays like 8 minutes max a night, and it would be like garbage time. But he can shoot, which is exciting. Like, he's pretty. He can handle the ball a little bit, and he can shoot, and he's like 7'3". So, like, you can see this the makings of an exciting player. Pardon the pun there. But you can tell he's pretty far off. Like, it'll just take a while. It's like Giannis. Like, Giannis, it took 3 years for Giannis to get here.
And how's Jason Kidd been? Because I know you were iffy on him.
Yeah, he's been – I mean, look, it's hard to argue with some of the results. I think he's been a lot better. Some of the big things are he's throwing Jabari into the fire defensively might be my favorite thing. Like, if you watch the Bucks now, like, Jabari will end up covering, like, Jimmy Butler, Kawhi Leonard, LeBron for, like, significant portions of the game on purpose just because they're like, you're going to have to learn how to play defense. We're going to do it the hard way, which I like a lot better than babying him because, look, like, honestly, this season, as much as I'm bitch about minutia, doesn't really matter. Like, they make the playoffs, they don't make the playoffs, they're not winning the title. They probably wouldn't make it past the first round, especially if they're the eighth seed. So it's really more all about development. And if, like, making Jabari a good man defender comes out of this season, that's a great development. He's been a much better shooter. So it's hard to argue with the development side. Some of the rotations are still shitty. Props to him for having the balls to bench Miles Plumlee, even though he's got a $50 million deal. He's just the worst center on the roster. And he's not bad, but he's just very replacement, whereas Monroe's been great and Henson's been really good. And Plumlee just doesn't do anything better than they do. So that's obviously not an easy decision, but he'd made it, which is good. They tried to use all three for a while, and that was just dumb because, like, you can't play three guys at the same position, like, what, less than 20 minutes a night, way less. Like, comes out to, like, 18 or something like that. And it's just, like, there's not enough minutes for all of them. They were all doing poorly. He's made some tough decisions. He had been doing pretty well with not letting Giannis play too much. The biggest thing besides the Jabari thing is probably rotations. He's done a really good job of staggering minutes, so either Giannis or Jabari is out there. And honestly, they're playing a lot better than I thought they would without Chris. Like, I thought they'd – we had that pot. I thought they'd win, like, 35 games. And I could see – like, I think if they have Middleton next year, they could win, like, and he's back and, like, he's him again, they could probably win 50 games next year.
Oh.
Like, look at how close they are to beating some really good teams. I mean, they beat the Cavs already. They came close to beating the Warriors. They brought the Cavs to overtime and a loss. The second time, LeBron was just pissed and they killed him. But, like, and they don't have, like, Tony Snell is not good. That's what I
Oh, wow,
mentioned.
Really?
He's not. I mean, he's never been much of a shooter. He's been a pretty good shooter lately. But he's just, again, he's, like, he's... The word I like to use for these guys is fine. Like, you can play him, but you never like want to say, like, oh yeah, we got Tony Snell to start games unless you just lost someone to injury. Like, they literally had no one else. So, I mean, he's fine for that, I guess, but there's, like, a significant portion of the fan base that wants to start Brogdon instead, which won't happen. because
he's good. He's good. Yeah.
But they need him to handle. They don't have any other point guards. They need him on the second unit.
Speaking of point guards, you were high on Dele before the season started.
He's been used more than I wanted. Part of that is Middleton's gone. Because you think about it, Middleton's also a playmaker. Like he can operate with the ball. So like in a perfect world, Dele's their third playmaker. Like it's Giannis, then Middleton, then Dele, then Jabari center. Who cares? It really doesn't matter with those three. So without Middleton, he's had to do more. He's been one of the better point guards in terms of assists. He's getting like 5 a game right now. He was up above 6. He can run an offense better than I thought. He's still not a great dribbler, but he's funny because like he does these ugly drives where he like drives and you know he's not going to shoot it. He'll rarely do a floater. But then he like just like rips his neck around and you think he's going to like break his fucking neck every time because how fast he does it. And he just like wings the ball over him. Yeah. But it's like a really good pass every time. He's been really good at like getting the offense going. He's obviously not going to like drop 30 points ever unless he gets real hot from three. But he's been a little better than I thought. Nothing crazy. I mean, they got him on a good deal. He's less than $10 million a year for the next 4. So that's real solid right there for what prices are becoming. I'm fine with Dele so far. I think he's what they wanted from him. Like I said, he'd look better without Middleton because he's not even supposed to really probably be handling the ball as much as he does now. Like really, Giannis should be using more touches than he is. But the first Cavs game, he only had 2 assists, and the Bucks have not won a game this year when he has less than 3 assists. Like they need him to do a little more in terms of point guarding, point center, whatever you want to call him. But Dele's been pretty good. Snelly, I'm not. We have Dele, Snelly, and Telly now. Teletovic. And like Snelly is for like Snell on the bench is okay. I think Brogdon's better, and I think Rashad Vaughn will be better like by next year. I'm still believing in him, even though I totally gave up on him over the summer.
Yeah, you definitely did. I'd
given up on him. Yeah, you were there for that. But like early this year, he looked really good, and then it like took away all his minutes. But I mean, he likes cookies, so I can relate.
Yeah. What's your favorite cookie to conclude?
That's a good conclusion. This is an unpopular pick. Are you ready for this?
I'm not.
Oatmeal raisin.
You might break my heart.
Oatmeal raisin.
Oh, the worst pick.
He grabbed his forehead.
You went Jan Vesely. You went Jan Vesely of cookies.
I went Anthony Bennett.
No, like Jan Vesely was worse.
I guess, yeah. Anthony Bennett's still in the NBA.
Is he? Has he been good in Brooklyn, or have we just stopped caring Anthony Bennett?
No.
I haven't stopped caring, Anthony.
You asked if we stopped caring. I haven't stopped caring. Okay.
Like, I still kind of care about him, Bennett. Like, enough for us to talk about him,
He's
you
the
know?
Third best big guy in the Brooklyn Nets, so that's probably all you need to know.
Yeah, okay. Oh, yeah, you're still in the NBA, third best big on a NBA team, so I mess with it.
Only technically. What's your favorite cookie?
Oh, man, I'm going to just – I don't know if this counts as a cookie, but the brownie.
What?
Is that a cookie?
No, a brownie's not a cookie.
Yes, it counts as a cookie.
A brownie? Oh, this is going to be a Twitter poll for sure.
It's a brownie. Cookie.
This is way better than fucking hot dog sandwich.
Wait, is a hot dog sandwich, though? I need an answer.
I mean, I think it depends on if the hinge breaks.
Don't give me a cop-out,
man. Actually, no, it is. It is, because a sub is a sandwich.
I agree.
A sub is a sandwich.
Absolutely, it
and
is.
And it's the same thing. It's just replacing other meat with, like, a sausage.
And a brownie is a cookie, Ty.
It's a separate category.
What are you for? What? What is it then?
It's a brownie.
What do you mean? A brownie doesn't have its own category. It's a cookie.
Yes, it does. Oh, this is better than anything else. I cannot wait to get this on NBA Twitter. Right after my deep NBA
I'm going
to
lose
pod.
This poll, but I'm still right.
I would be surprised if anyone besides you puts that a brownie is a cookie.
Am I wrong, Ty?
I mean, I don't know who just like, is there like a baking council? I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know either. Well, I'm glad we disagreed intensely on something for once. Most of the time, we're both just like, yeah, I'm down with that.
Yeah.
I remember I did our hot takes pod with Andrew, and we were like trying to convince our, like it was supposed to be like trying to convince ourselves, each other of our hottest takes. And like 5 out of 6, we were like, yeah, that makes sense. It's like, damn it. Like there was supposed to be more discourse here.
The oatmeal raisin, though, you really broke my heart there, Ty. Like really. Of all the cookies.
Shout out to us. Favorite cookie question. I say oatmeal raisin and you say fucking brownie. I don't think that might be the first time in history there's never been like a chocolate chip or sugar cookie. Yeah. I like sugar cookies too.
Man, if a sugar cookie's a cookie, then a brownie's a cookie.
It's no, we gotta stop. This is about to get carried away. You're about to tell me next that a fucking cupcake is a cookie.
Wait, that's not even the same, man. It's not the same.
Bemahitch.
All right, Zach.
Give me your plugs. You know my outros take years now.
Find me at Bemahitch NBA if you care about my tweets or me, I guess. You can read my work at wizofoz.com, which the staff writers have been carrying it lately as I'm going to Broadway plays drunk. They're writing valuable wizard stuff. So I appreciate them for that.
Shout out to the Wizard of Oz staff. You can find my work at behindthebugpass.com and hoopshabit.com. You can find me on Twitter at Ty Windisch, TiWindisch. You can find the podcast at timeoutwithty.com. There's links there to everything, but we're on Stitcher, SoundCloud, iTunes. There's merch. My Facebook page is active again. Like me on Facebook. Tell your grandparents, too, if you're not on Facebook anymore. Ty Windisch NBA. Joey Burbs does an intro and outro music to this podcast. He's currently finally making new music, which I say every fucking week, and I haven't heard a new song. Well, I heard the songs, but he hasn't dropped a new song yet. That's coming soon, hopefully. I think that's all my plugs. Thanks for listening. Ben, thank you for coming on. Make sure to vote in the poll that will be up on Twitter shortly. Is a brownie a cookie? The new question dividing our nation. Thanks for listening, everyone. Ben, thanks again.
Thank you for having me, Ty.